Hello, this is BJ Ramon, and excited to be recording another podcast with you guys. Of course, as always, Don Bird is with us and Marcos Leon. And today we're going to be talking about trauma. We're going to be talking about what is trauma, and we're going to be taking the perspectives that we have from our vantage points. And talking through those things and getting an idea, because we want to spend the next several podcasts talking about what trauma is and how we respond to it and dealing with trauma. And so today we want to get some idea when we use the word trauma. What do we mean when we say that? So, Don, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks, BJ.
I'm glad you're here.
Good to be here.
Yeah. Marcos, what about you? How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited, actually, BJ. It's not that I like trauma, but I like when we talk about things that help us overcome trauma. So I'm pretty excited. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. So I wanted to read a couple of definitions. And, you know, definitions are good because they give us a framework from experts who I'm sure they didn't just sit down and, you know, 10 seconds come out with a definition. They have a well thought out, a lot of smart people got in a room together and hashed out, you know, all the verbology that goes into this, into these definitions. So it's a good framework, but I think with any definition also, elaborating based on our anecdotal experiences is helpful too, you know, because sometimes for some personalities, you read a definition and you get kind of trapped in by that definition thing. Oh, this is all it is. And get lost in the words. So we want to, talk together about our thoughts on these definitions. So the, APA, which is the American Psychiatric Association, defined trauma as an emotional response to a terrible event like an accident, rape, or natural disaster. Immediately after the event, shock and denial are typical. Longer-term reactions include unpredictable emotions, flashbacks, strained relationships, and even physical symptoms like headaches or nausea. While these feelings are normal, some people have difficulty moving on with their lives. Psychologists can help these individuals find constructive ways of managing their emotions. And the ACA, the American Counseling Association, says defines trauma this way. A serious situation or occurrence that happens suddenly. It is urgent and usually unexpected and demands immediate action. The term comes from the Greek word meaning wound. On a physical level, trauma means that the force on some part of the body was so great that the body's natural protection, the skin, skull, were unable to prevent injury. In this situation, the body is unable to mend the wounds without medical attention. On a psychological and emotional level, a person's spirit, and sometimes the will to live, as well as beliefs about the world and oneself, dignity, and sense of security, thinking, and feeling have been impacted the same way. Usual ways of handling stress become inadequate. And just like a physical injury, when medical attention is needed, the same is for this in regards to attention to mental or spiritual attention. So hearing those definitions, we'll start with you, Marcos. You know, do you have any initial thoughts that come up for you when you hear that, or anything you would add to those definitions, or any elaboration you want to add to it?
Yeah, thank you, BJ, for bringing those there, as you say, very good definitions. And I have to admit that I cannot but think my also head of counselor in trauma in that aspect. But my thoughts, as I sit with it in the spiritual context, had to do especially with the idea of the word wound. You know, wound. I think that trauma is a wound for the soul. Okay, that's kind of my definition. My soul is wounded, but it's not just a wound that, like, you know, we fall and you know have a little wound and it passes. But this is a deeper wound. This is a wound that has not healed properly. I like this, and I borrowed this also from the counseling. They talk about big T trauma, right? And little T trauma, right? And this is a kind of an oversimplification. But big T trauma is too much, too soon, too fast. You know, too much, too fast. Boom, big trauma. And you get it, right? Experience it. That experience that was traumatic for me. But the little T trauma, and I encounter a lot of that in spiritual direction. It is too little, but too long. Too long, for too long time, you know, has to go. It's not as intense. It's not that I'm being abused right now, but it is this invalidation of my experience, or it is this little wound that has gone for too long in my life to the point that I believe that the wound is me, right? So, and that affects my soul. So those are kind of my first thoughts in the spiritual aspect. I think I encounter, I see with the subtleness of little T trauma often, you know, and it becomes an obstacle in the spiritual development, if you want, journey of a person. Mm-hmm. So those are my thoughts, yeah.
I like that. Specifically, what stood out when you were saying that is differentiating between what we classically think, you know, big traumas versus these little T's, like you're saying. Yeah, but they're both relevant. Don, same question to you. I wondered if you, as you read this or heard this, that anything come up for you, anything you wanted to add to it, or thoughts that you had?
Yeah, I appreciate what Marco says, and I had some of those thoughts too. It feels a little pretentious to say I didn't. There were parts of these very long, well thought out definitions, but I think for me, reading that it's an emotional, or yeah, it's emotional response to a terrible event or a serious situation. Yeah, those seem to be like a person would think, oh, well, it wasn't terrible, or it, you know, was it really that serious? And I think we can think about the big T, little T trauma, but I think also sometimes definitions like this might stop somebody from really taking seriously something that happened, or yeah, do I really need help for this? Whether I need to go to a spiritual director, a counselor, a coach, you know, is it that big of a deal? And so I just was thinking about another definition that that I have read recently that talked about trauma as a response to a deeply distressing or disturbing event that overwhelms the individual and their ability to cope. And to me, that seemed like maybe a more accessible way to think about trauma. And as the person thinks about it for themselves, as the helper thinks about it, that, yeah, and what might be deeply distressing to one person might not be at all to another person. And so it's all in that individual's response to whatever happened. And Marco's kind of touched on this. I think that the words I would add are like, if it was unpredictable, if it was extreme or prolonged, any of those things right. add to the chance that there was, you know, that there was some trauma that existed. I think the only other thing I would add is like, if something happened and we developed fairly maladaptive ways of dealing with it, then something significant happened. And maybe it's like, wow, what I'm doing, what you're doing isn't working. And so something happened along the way that caused this. And so let's step back and kind of think about this a little bit.
Right. So would you say, and you can correct me if I'm misunderstanding what you're saying, would you say that trauma then would be defined per individual, but based not on the event that happened, but more so on the evidence that they're not adapting?
Yeah. And I get that we have to have like certain markers. I mean, you can't just like have this loosey-goosey term out there. We have to have certain markers. So I get that. I think those are important. And I do think what you said, I agree that, you know, and people really do. I responded to different things and my siblings did, and we're in the same household. Right. The same thing happened. So I do think it's how, it's not so much the event, but how it affects that person. What else is going on at the time? How old they are? How much support was given to them after? All of those things seem to play into how quote unquote traumatic the event was.
Right. I appreciate that because I've seen clients and we dive into childhood a little bit. They say, well, nothing. They specifically say nothing traumatic happened in my childhood, and then as they start relaying things. Sometimes my mind is, that sounds traumatic to me. or they start revealing, here's how that's impacted my life. And just like you were saying, Don, it just wasn't, there wasn't the tools in place, and there's evidence that the adaption wasn't there. So I like that. I like what you're saying, that it was, that there's evidence to say, yeah, there was trauma. Like you said, sometimes that doesn't mean a one-time event. Sometimes it means it's prolonged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go ahead, Marcus.
Yeah, I just wanted to add and say I like a lot how you help us to go from a concept, Don, to story, to a person, right? So, and I think that when we talk about trauma, it's so important. I mean, both. There's this dialectical reality. We need the statistics, we need that data, we need science, we need to know what happens in the brain, and we need to address the story and the individual unique reality. The evidence that you talk about, BJ, of there's something maladaptive, I think a lot of the narrative, right, of the story that they tell, how they interpret the meaning that they create, especially in the little t, sometimes in the big t too. But I've sat with people when, as you say, BJ, they are telling a story and they are completely regulated, and they are talking about that like it was drinking a glass of water, right? And here I am, tears in my eyes, or I've seen my wife, I remember especially a neighbor in a low-income apartment complex that we used to live. I see my wife crying. She could not stop. And the other person was saying, what's wrong with you? And you say, well, sorry, it's terribly sad to hear what happened to you. And she was, well, it wasn't, it was not. That was my life. It was like that. So, but that was also a moment of evidence for this lady. It was a female to say, wow, I saw the tears that I never cry or I have forgotten in the eyes of other person. And that kind of becomes a little bit of a aha moment. What is this, right? So that's what comes into this uniqueness reality. And I appreciate that too. Don, thank you.
Yeah, and that really generates a lot of questions for me because, maybe someone's listening to this and they're wondering, well, I haven't been through a hurricane. I haven't, experience one of these things, how do I know if trauma's in my life? And so, I like what you said, because sometimes people feel like they've adapted, but maybe they've just shoved it down until, and so I'm wondering, we can start with you, Marcos. What are things that you see in people? Like, how do you see trauma playing out in people's lives? What's the evidence maybe that they see in their life, or, when you're guiding people, that it's clear that it's impacting them. And even if you answer from your own life, what have you seen trauma impact you? What's the evidence, the symptoms, that you see?
Of course, I love the question, BJ. I try to answer briefly. Let me start with what I see kind of in a spiritual direction a lot, and something that is personal, but also in the spiritual arena. So, what I see most of the time is that people who come to spiritual direction, they are either aware of a huge trauma that happened in their lives, but they are very stuck. They are somehow trying to, bringing this to God. I mean, not everybody brings a trauma to God. But let's just start there. You're growing up, your tradition, your story, your family, your experience with religion, with communities of faith, have changed completely the way that you deal with trauma in that aspect. So it seems that I need to be okay. You know, God is busy doing other things that are really important in Afghanistan. And they are, believe me. But so he doesn't really cast time for little me and my story that is very sad, but you know, I'm still fed and I have money, I have a job and whatever it is, right? So there is no connection with a healer in that wound. And some people actually got stuck in that and compartmentalized that. And you talk about spirituality and that is, oh, okay, I already forgave. I already pray about it, but there is no exploration of, I wonder what does it mean for them, Jesus touching their wounds, you know, like Jesus touched his own wounds, right? The trauma was there. My gosh, evidence of the trauma. And I usually ask those kind of questions and it's very disorienting for them. I say, that's not the spiritual journey that I know. They are afraid. They are insecure. The other part is people who are stuck, not in the trauma, but in the religion, right? This is not about it. This is not about that trauma. This is about Bible, or this is about what God should say, you know, I should, and I call it, we call it the spiritual bypass, you know, there's a spiritual card, like you're playing cards and you throw the God card and okay, sorry, I cannot do the move right now. We cannot talk about it. Move to the next. And just touching those places of a stuckness, religion or trauma itself, pain, it's tough. Let me just share with in my own life, I grew up in a family that loved me and it wasn't perfect. There were big things going on and dysfunction for sure. Lots of it. Now that I am older, I know about it. And I still love my family, right? But I was in a spiritual retreat one time. Spiritual, you know, silent retreat. And, you know, the speaker has been a person that I have recognized a lot of mentorship for me and kind of God speaking to me through this guy. And it doesn't have, it's not that he's speaking to me, but you know, I have that sense. That's the spiritual arena. This is kind of my teacher. And he was not talking about trauma. It was a question that somebody asked. It was like completely on the side that came and he mentioned the words emotional abandonment.
Right.
And I cannot tell you what happened to me at that moment. He says something like, sometimes when our memories are being, or early memories as kids are of being alone, sometimes, you know, there might be some emotional abandonment. Something like the world stopped for me for a moment. And in 5 seconds, I jotted in my little notebook, 5 bullet points of memories that I had being alone when I was a kid. And I just knew that something touched my heart. I couldn't go there. Okay, I'm going to stop here. I don't want to, you know, start crying or anything like that. But I put it aside. Uh-huh. But I had to come back that night in the spiritual silence. Man, I started crying. I didn't stop crying for hours. And the next day I knew I needed to talk with my wife and I managed to be okay. But when I needed to share with her, I knew that was going on. We went to a park, we were in San Francisco. We went to this Japanese garden that is so beautiful. But this is the place. And I say, you know, I want to tell you what happened yesterday. And I started crying and I didn't stop crying for a couple hours. And, you know, it has taken me a long time to unfold something that in the moment of grace, okay, towards emotional abandonment, I heard them for the first time ever. And I think that tells you also that trauma is not something that we can say, okay, let's finish with trauma right now. In the next 5 sessions, we're going to deal with your trauma and you're going to be okay. There's a lot of grace that is needed. And that's kind of the spiritual side into this conversation. So that's the story. Sorry for taking too long, but that's...
No, that's great. That's exactly the response to the question that we're looking for, because we want to be aware of evidence of symptoms. And sometimes it's not you know, available to us, that we don't see it because we've gotten real practice at putting it away. And a word or a phrase, like you said, can trigger something, and it's good to press into that.
Yeah. And if I can just add very quickly, you know, I was a very functional human being, love God. I was keeping my job. So if you want symptoms, the only thing that I can tell you is, why is this never-ending tendency that I have to withdraw from people? That I have to kind of, I don't want to deal with it. You know, when the temperature is starting increasing in conversations with Julie, oh my gosh, I can almost not stop this thing of going to my cave, emotional cave, and staying there because it feels safe. I call it that way. And I kept giving the name, I'm an introvert. Well, there's nothing wrong with me. But after unpacking this thing, oh my gosh, you know, all those connections, it was there all the time. That was not me.
Right. Yeah, Dot, I wonder anything from the question that originally posed, or anything that Marco said, brought anything up for you, or anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, first of all, that story was just so moving, Marco. Thanks for sharing that. I just really felt it in my body. And I think you just did such a good job of describing the maladaptive part of what happened, that, you know, and with Julie, with your spouse, I mean, we have to, you know, there's going to be intensity in that relationship, and to not be able to stay in it. That doesn't lead towards probably much, you know, it doesn't give the opportunity for reconciliation and repair and all those things. So I think that was a good way to identify a very functional, hardworking, God-fearing man, but also that maladaptive side that affected, you know, the person you're probably closest to in the whole world in that relationship. So great example. I think, first of all, just a couple of things that I see in some of my helping relationships is, kind of like an inability, it can be said in a lot of different ways, but inability to be close to others, emotionally connected, maybe even know what a person is feeling or thinking at the time, just a disconnection to that. And the other thing I see is just a lot of fracture in relationships, whether it's a, gosh, parent-child, whether it's a sibling relationship. That I think the maladaptive part is, that relationships just aren't where they could be. They don't exist in a way that helps each person to be the best they can be in the world. And I think for me, what I've noticed probably, and this is just one example of many things, but yeah, I mean, I grew up with an alcoholic father. So, you know, and a mom that was, you know, just very, as often goes, pretty codependent and pretty absorbed with his life and trying to get him better and trying to raise five kids. And so, you know, I, like any other kid, I needed that affirmation, acceptance, and approval. And there wasn't space for that. And so I'm highly sensitive to my performance. Like I'm very like self-aware of it. I'm also aware of other people's response to me, maybe what they say or a look. And so it's okay. It's okay that's happening. It sort of pushes me to be better. I do a lot of, like, I'm pretty tenacious, but also when I also just question my just value as a human being based on my performance, or I decide I'm not going to, like, I fail once at something, I'm not going to try again. Or I just decide I try something and I do it for a little bit, it's not going well. Okay, I'm just going to stop that because I can't handle that. Any threat of disconnection from another person in any kind of way, whether it's a disapproval or, and sometimes this is all perceived, this is all in my mind. That's, I think, the maladaptive part that I'm talking about. I want to, I want to try new things and I want to keep going and I want to have a posture of learning and that I'm not going to do it perfect. I'm going to make mistakes. And yeah, I want that to be what I focus on. And so it's that, yeah, it's that work that I do with my coach and that I hope to help other people with as well.
Yeah. I like that. And so a lot of our conversation has been around kind of these, lack of a better word, maybe hidden traumas that we've experienced, things that have laid there, festered for a while. And there's more present trauma as well that people go through that we think of. And I wanted to throw this out there, and this is a curveball, but what do you see with anyone who wants to answer with PTSD, you know, and things like that, that it's clear that someone is not functioning, you know, like Marcos, you mentioned that you do life normally and everything, you're just seeing little pieces here and there about withdrawal, you know, and things. But I'm wondering, you know, if someone's listening and they're seeing their life be in disarray, what would you do what are some things like to know if they have PTSD or not? Because I know we'll have another podcast about what to do with trauma, so I'm not asking what you do with it, but how would someone know if they had something like that, do you think?
Yeah, thanks for... Yeah, it's such a great question. And what got me of that is somebody's listening and saying, is this something clinical? I'm using kind of a term that is more counseling. Is this something... So this will be my first my answer. I'm trying to also be faithful to representing, you know, spiritual direction and the spiritual aspect of this. But talk about it. Let's start there. You know, this is not something that you just post in Facebook or Twitter. No, this is something that you need to talk, and you probably will discover, you will see your tears. I mean, like in the story that I was saying with Julie, when you're able to find somebody that cares for you, loves for you, this is not about fixing anything right now. This is just sharing and saying, you know, I wonder. Talk about it with people. Think of babies. Babies are born. Right? We are all born and we have this capacity to self-regulate a lot of bodily functions, like temperature and stuff like that. But we are desperate in need of people outside of us, another human beings, mom, caregivers, to regulate, self-regulate emotionally. That is the basis of attachment, right? I believe in the spiritual aspect that God has designed us that way. If you think that you had trauma and you think that you can work it out yourself, and you know, journaling is really good, by the way, but you can do it alone, even with God, I encourage you to talk about it. Express that. Talk with somebody that will lead you to one thing or another thing, and maybe to a counseling office where somebody can actually help you with the other aspect that's very helpful of this, that is the science and the brain and the behavior and all that stuff. And that is truth. That's also spiritual because it's truth. But let's start talking about it. That would be my answer.
I think it's really good. I think, yeah, if it helps a person to know if they've, like, from a clinical perspective, can check all the boxes off and they're like, okay, so now I'm going to take this seriously. If that helps them, then I think good, you know, maybe. Yeah, and do some research or whatever. I just agree with what Marco said, that like it's so trauma, like it happens in the context of other people, and so which all of our lives do, but the experience, I mean, there has to be an experience of being connected to someone for the healing to occur. Like, because we're social creatures and because it's almost like our mind experienced this trauma in a certain way. So our mind also has to experience like the putting back together of the pieces that got fractured. And we experience that in our mind, we experience that in our body. And so doing it with someone else, if that's kind of what we're talking about, like, do you need to, what do you need help? Can you do it by yourself? I would say that it can happen. It cannot happen alone. That it has to happen in relationship. Because that's how we're kind of designed. And yeah, it's hard to have an experience of connection without another person. And as we experience connection with another person, safety in the whole relationship and being able to talk about things at the pace that the person's able to begin to talk about things. They're not pushed. They're in control. They get to decide those things. Then our mind and body start saying, oh, okay. So this can, like, I don't have to feel this way all the time. Like, there's an experience of something different.
Right. And so, what I hear from both of you guys is paying attention to the patterns in our life, the way that we're relating to people, and taking serious when we're seeing that something's off, where we're constantly seeing ourselves fall into patterns that are unhealthy for ourselves or others, or seeing ourselves question why are we having a hard time adapting to situations, to events, to to life, because there's probably something that's informing the way that we're showing up. Our brain doesn't just play tricks on us for no reason. It's set up to protect us. It's set up to guard us against things. And so when there's brokenness in our patterns and our relationships, then it's something to key in on. And I like that. And yeah, I know we have a certain amount of we want to keep this in a certain time frame, but I also don't want to skip past the idea that trauma can be something that's experienced in a communal or global level as well, that it's not always individual. And sometimes we think, oh, well, something hasn't happened to me, but you know, we just went through and are still going through a worldwide pandemic that has impacted, obviously it's impacted lives specifically, and it's impacted the way that we do things. Supply chains and going to the store and we found out that we believe different political ideas from our neighbor and our family, and there's a lot of potential trauma individually, but definitely trauma that we've experienced globally that's there and should be processed. Especially you think about people who lived on their own, or people who are extroverts who are siloed off for a certain amount of time, and then you get back around people and you're wondering, how do I be around people? Are we shaking hands these days? Are we hugging? Are we nodding at each other? Or, and so there's a lot of social, dynamics, with that trauma too. And so the, opportunities, the potential for trauma is abounds in life in general. And it's not exclusively for the times that we're experiencing personally. Even the last few days, as we've seen Ida come through and impact, two different parts of the United States. And when I see the pictures, I travel back to 2017 and going through Harvey here ourselves and know what it's like for my fellow man to be experiencing those things, and you start looking for ways to help, obviously. So I didn't want to get through this podcast without at least mentioning that there was communal trauma that we experienced as well. And it's good to pay attention to where that's showing up in our body, like you were saying, and where does that show up in our relationships and how that's impacting us. Yeah. Either one of you have some closing thoughts?
Just BJ, very briefly, I think it's so important what you're saying about the social context. When we even talk about anxiety, trauma, and the context of society, what happens, and I think we're living that. I think you're right. And one of the things that the only thing I'd like to add is sometimes that extra level of stress or trauma or, you know, whatever that global situation is influencing us, what it does is that it activates parts of trauma on my past. Right. And suddenly, so this is not all the same, also the uniqueness. Suddenly, I am finding these huge things coming that I cannot control. And I say, where did it come from? I wanna blame it on COVID, right? But the truth is, past trauma is there, and the body keeps the score. And this might be, I'm going to put it that way, right? The grace of God inviting you to pay attention into places of your own life that have not been. The goal of all of this, I keep thinking, is healing. So I can see trauma, just the wound, but I can see through the wound, right? To what happened after the wound. And there's a lot to say about it, but I believe that that is a positive thought. You know, what if I overcome those things? What if I overcome?
Don, do you have some closing remarks, anything that you'd like to add?
I had a thought earlier, and then I just wanted to. So I appreciate what you said, Marcos. I wanted to kind of circle back to us, like, you know, the things in our lives and the things that are maladaptive. And for some of us, a step might be that, you know, we might not know what those maladaptive things are. You know, we're pretty good at kind of, maybe that's bad, but it's not that bad. So I think an important part is having people in our lives that are willing to give us really honest feedback about ways that we are maladaptive. And that's super hard to do. It's a vulnerable, I know in faith walking, we have certain assignments where the assignment is to ask people, what can you always count on me and never count on me for? What do I do when I get defensive? And we put those in there because most of us don't have built-in places and relationships where we ask for feedback. So that might be a step. Even asking people, you know, just even in the context of this whole pandemic, yeah, what have you seen in me in this pandemic that maybe you didn't notice before that I need to pay attention to? Those might be steps that for any context someone's in, that whatever kind of helping relationship they're in, that might be helpful.
Thank you both so much. This is such a huge topic, and I'm glad that we're kind of squaring off several episodes of our podcast to be able to talk about it, because I feel like we scratched the surface, you know, and got some good ideas out there. But I feel like hopefully we accomplished our goal of defining trauma and that we could move forward together. So look forward to talking with you guys more about trauma and what we can do with it. Thank you both for your time.